Hey everybody, it's Keaton here at the beginning just to say thanks for sticking with us through our short little hiatus. Things got a little busy for us, especially since half of us just graduated from college. So thanks for your patience as we kind of got through a really busy season in our lives, but we are back at it. What you are about to hear is an episode that we recorded about a month ago now. We recorded this before we decided to go on hiatus, so I apologize that we didn't mention the hiatus in the audio itself, but again, if you want to stay up to date on things like that, make sure to follow us on Twitter at RPG Roulette. If you don't have Twitter, don't worry, soon we are going to be expanding our social media to a couple of more platforms so you guys can stay up to date. But that's all I have to say right here. I'll let you get to the episode. Just wanted to say thanks for sticking with us, and we're back on our bi-weekly schedule. Previously on RPG Roulette, Red Bet.
Are my pants long enough for this? I don't want to get in trouble.
You're able to see some smoke rising above the trees.
Considering that we don't really know much about them anyways, I would say that we need to approach them pretty quietly so we can at least get a lay of the land before we decide what to actually do. Well, Dale, if you and Sarah want to come with me, the three of us, we can try to sneak up forward a little bit, see what all's happening up there. And
Dr. Lewis said these pants were long enough. He said it was okay.
You get close enough to see that there's not anyone around.
We should have left last night. They're already moved out of here. I mean, we knew they were talking about some second location, and who knows what they did with Willie.
You poke your head in, and immediately there's a gunshot, and you hear someone inside go, "Oh, dang it! Who goes there?"
It's Dale.
Who?
Dale.
Well, who? I don't know no Dale.
Well, I'm Dale.
My God-given name is Daniel Blathers, but most folks just call me Briarpelt.
Where's the rest of the gang?
If I'm honest with you, I don't rightly know. I woke up a little while ago, just about, I don't know, 4 to 5 minutes ago, and everybody was up and left. Well, there is this set of caves about a day's ride from here. What goes on? I think that we need to go back to town anyway and grab some supplies. Maybe we could just take them with us.
Dale?
That's me.
Would you like some shoes?
Make them say Dale as much as you can and I'll be a happy fella.
This is, you know, completely up to you. I understand that. I was just thinking, what if I came with you? I mean, I only ever stuck with them because, well, Captain Holster kind of made us all feel like family whenever we all started with him. But a few years ago, stuff just, I don't know, kind of changed.
I know you're frustrated, Oliver. I think you still care about the rest of these people in this town, deep down. And that's why I think you're going to do something to help them.
The door opens, and Oliver Ray is standing there.
I'll come with you, if nothing else, because you're a good man.
Okay, hey everybody, welcome back to RPG Roulette, the one and only podcast. It's just this one.
No others.
There aren't any others. My name...
We're the only ones.
Yeah, I'm Keaton. I play Dale. Dale Olsen. He's a washed-up vagabond who lives just outside of our town here, Rusty Peaks.
My name is Luke Howard. I am the voice of Jasper Hughes, a smooth-talking man who enjoys whiskey and some of the other finer things in life.
I like that you're the voice. You don't play him. Someone else is rolling all the dice and making all the decisions, but you read the lines they provide for you.
I,
I agreed to do this under the assumption that I didn't have to do any work, and so far that's just not been true. So I'm just trying
to speak. We even made him DM one time.
I'm just trying to speak into existence the things that I wish.
Well, I'm Noah, and I am playing Roy McCullen, the local cobbler who has finally made Dale a pair of shoes.
Oh, yeah. Yay. Okay, can we settle this right here? Is it McCullen's or McCullen?
So, the way that I have it spelled on my character sheet, if I can say the word sheet, is McCullen. McCullen.
Okay. Then that's the official way we say it. No, don't put any more S's in there, folks. It's not true.
That is literally not how it is spelled in the character document.
Well, you can fix it. We all have the power to edit that document.
It's the authority.
Boom. Ian. There we go.
Nice. All right. So finally, my name's Hunter Wood. I play Dr. Scott Lewis, who is the local physician. And today, I'm going to be mastering some cows.
Yeah, you are.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw, gentlemen.
Yeehaw, boys.
I'm going to recount a scene for you that happened several months before our first Rusty Peaks adventure. It's probably about midday, and we find ourselves in the beautiful red arches of Utah, and standing near a just kind of large towering red structure of sand and dirt are three men. We would recognize them as Captain Lavender, Double Thing, and Snarlbrow. The three men are standing there examining this cliffside. What exactly they're examining, we can't tell at first, until Captain Holster finally steps forward to where there are two cracks in the rock. He runs his hands slowly along the line where the cracks are, and finally his hands run over three letters, C-H-G. He stands there for several seconds, wondering what they can mean, when suddenly the crack begins to make an eerie noise, unlike anything he's ever heard before, and a bright flash of light blinds him. The next thing Captain Lavender knows, he feels a prickling sensation on the back of his neck. No. Stop! No! And he falls to his knees. Double Fang and Snarlbrow turn to each other before running forward and grabbing their captain, who they pull away from the crack. As they pull him away, neither man notices a shadow go racing across the ground away from the three figures. Captain, are you all right? Get away from me. Just, what happened? Well, you were examining the rock, and are you hurt? Captain Holster stands up and storms away angrily. Do you think we should follow him, Double Thing? I think I'd give him some space. As the captain continues to walk away, he glances up at the skyline. After several minutes, he finally turns back to the two men. Boys, looks like we're going to have a change of plans.
Neat. So remind me, is CHG, was that on a rock or on the ground in the hallway dimension?
On the ground in the hallway dimension.
Okay.
On the ground.
I'm not gonna lie, I forgot that detail entirely, so dang, cool.
I did until he said CHG. Hunter loves acronyms and to make word puzzles, but this could just be something that we have to figure out, or one of us gets to decide what it means. So we should
have
an ongoing...
You all have equal opportunity to decide.
I'm excited. I'm excited for... I can't even think of a funny acronym for CHG. Crying Howling Guinea Pigs.
Ooh.
You got me. That's exactly what I had in mind. The final bad guys of the Red Bad Adventure are guinea pigs.
Dang.
Wow. What was that movie? G-Force?
G-Force. Yes.
G-Force.
What a concept.
Should we play the game?
All right.
I mean, we can if you want.
Sure. I mean, so, you know, I kind of feel like that's why we're here.
I can't argue with that.
I mean, it's one of the reasons.
We could probably postpone a few more days.
Gosh.
I'd say at least 3 to 4.
Yes, let's, all right, let's make this
take, take us into this too. Thing.
Okay, so we pick up with our band of heroes, accompanied by Oliver, Sarah, Sam, and Graham. And they've set out to go and try... Oh, and excuse me, and Briar Pelt.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Can't forget him.
And they are... he's the most important one.
Honestly.
They're finally on the way to try and get their beloved animals back. So I think we agreed we were going to like set out right at that moment when the last episode ended. We were tired of waiting around and we were going to do it.
Jasper stopped by the sheriff's department first and grabbed some handcuffs.
Yeah, I remembered that. All right, so we've loaded up on some ammo, handcuffs, all sorts of stuff, and we are we're on the way on foot because we don't have our mounts anymore. I guess Briar Pelt's leading because he knows where the caves are.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you guys probably get about halfway there without an interruption. Is anyone kind of chatting with someone along the way, or are we just kind of sitting in, or walking in nervous silence?
Jasper probably hums some trail songs. I don't know any trail songs. Otherwise, I would demonstrate.
That is allowed.
Maybe he just whistles a tune.
Yeah, Jasper whistles the theme song for RPG Roulette.
Oh, yes. I know exactly how that one goes.
It's fine. I have a whistle track for that. I can put it underneath.
Cool.
I think Roy is just walking in indignant silence. Near Sarah, trying to keep an eye on her, but just eyes forward, watching Briar Pelt this entire time.
I think you'd be watching Briar Pelt talk to Dale. Because I think I mentioned this in the last episode. Dale started to feel a little sympathetic for the guy towards the end because he definitely saw him as the Dale of the Cattlewood Coyotes.
Yeah.
I think I'd be talking to him. Yeah. I think we'd be chatting about, I don't know. This is probably the most absurd thing we could. But I can't think of anything right now because my brain isn't working. I'm going to let you start the role play, and I'll go with it, Hunter.
You know, man, those are some real fancy shoes you got there.
Oh, boy, thanks. Yeah, you see back there my friend Roy? And I wave at Roy.
Roy nods.
Hey, Roy.
Yeah, that's Roy. He's the cobbler in Rest of Peaks. He made me these shoes, and they got my name all over them, so that way you don't forget they're mine.
Oh, I was wondering what that said. See, I can't read, so I figured it was probably something like... the name of who made them, or your name, maybe even my name. I don't know why it would be my name. That would be kind of weird.
It would be a little weird for me to wear a... Wait, if you can't read, how are you a cook? Do you read recipes, or do you store that all up in your brain space?
Oh, I got it all up here in my old noggin, you know? I use a bit of this, a bit of that. If I think the recipe needs a changing up, I just add in some track till it tastes good.
Dale sheds a single tear. It's truly inspiring, sir.
Well, thank you. As you and Briar Pelt are having this just moving conversation, you begin to hear the sound of horses riding towards you. And anyone, give me a frontier roll.
It's a 6 for me.
All right, so you notice there are 6 horsemen riding towards you, and you recognize that they are wearing just military uniforms.
Question, what kind of military uniform would that be for our current setting? I have a strong feeling it could be one of two.
It would be, if this was the Civil War, which is now over, they would be Union military uniforms. Okay. So they are the Army... of the side that won the Civil War, to be clear.
Okay. Yes, I think we all... Which was the Union. Okay, cool.
I know
that there was a lot of like people who ran out west during the Civil War, and it could have been Confederate soldiers who ran away from like Texas or somewhere.
Yeah,
don't quote me on that.
That was a very fair question.
Yes. That was also an assumption, I'm not a Civil War expert. Anyways, we can continue.
I feel like if any of us are a Civil War expert, the closest would be Hunter.
Yeah.
So these six soldiers, they just kind of, they ride up to you and they stop when they get several feet away. And then one of them comes a couple more feet forward than the rest.
Dale salutes.
What are you, he nods at Dale's salute. Hello, gentlemen, lady. May I ask what you fine people are doing out here this day?
I think we could probably ask you the same question.
Sirs, we are on our way to settle some business.
Well, we're also here to settle some business.
Who are you here to settle with?
Yeah, we came from Fort Duchesne, just south of here. A few days ago, about half of our horses were stolen. We've tracked the perpetrator north up to this area.
Well, would you mind if we form some sort of a group or an accord then? We are from the town of Rusty Peaks, just west of here. And we also had our animals stolen. So we are, some of our community members, some of us are from the sheriff's department, and we are on our way to get back what is ours.
How rude of me. I forgot to introduce myself. My name's General Greg Thompson. These are my men. What animals have you have taken?
Horses, dogs.
I mean, cows and pigs.
What else? Donkeys.
They took literally...
Donk has a donkey.
They took literally every single animal in our village, including my good mutt Willie. And I'm yeah, they took my dog. They're real sick people.
This is Dale. He's pretty shook up about it. I mean, we all are, imagine.
This is Deputy Dale, for the record. We are also...
Of course, lawmen. This is Deputy Dale.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear I'm working with some fine lawmen.
I think during this entire conversation, Roy is a little uncomfortable with these military officials, just because of his background and everything, being a little bit on the run. He's definitely a bit on edge being near.
Can I roll like actual official to see people? If I can tell that Roy is uneasy about it.
Yes.
What would I roll for that?
I feel like that would probably just be a frontier check.
Okay.
Because I don't know if there's anything that's like more suited for that.
That's a four.
I think you kind of notice that he is, but I don't think you're exactly able to, like, I think you might think it's because he's just distrusting of strangers. You don't necessarily put together why he's kind of on edge.
Okay.
Well, wait a minute. If they took your horses, how are you on horses?
Well, Dale, they said that they took half their animals.
Blank stare.
Half of their total number of animals. So they still had some animals that were left when...
Dale, if I had two horses, they would have taken one.
Well, you have more than two horses. I can see 10 right here.
Dale, we'll do a math lesson when we get back to Rusty Peaks. For now, all you need to know is that they have horses. It's okay.
Well, can we get on the horses?
Well, you can ask, I guess.
Well, I turn slightly. Well, can we get on the horses?
Aye, yeah. My men can ride two to a horse, so y'all hop up here, and we're going to go down, and we're going to see. If they had only stolen horses, I would have thought these bandits could have traveled a good ways. But if they've stole cows, dogs, all sorts of things, that's going to slow them down. We must be getting close. Hop on up here.
Well, how much do you know about the bandits?
Well, I know they must have had a decent amount of men to get into our fort. It's amazing, too. I mean, we're one of the best armed forts in all of Utah, and they got in and out without anybody seeing them. And the crazy thing was they didn't kill a single one of my men. They just took our animals.
And nobody saw them?
Well, two of my men did go missing.
Uh-oh.
Well, it sounds like two of your men might be turncoats.
I suspected as much.
I'm glad that wasn't a jab. I'm glad that I didn't bring that up and then have him be like, "Are you accusing my man?" Like as soon as I said it, I was like, "Oh man, this might be bad for Jasper."
Well, he'll just say, you know, Mr. General, these folk are called the Cattlewood Coyotes, and ain't our first run in with them. They came to our town one time, trying to kill some folk who are also lizard folk and could change into lots of things and everything. But then we asked them to go away, and then they came back while we were gone in another dimension.
That's okay. Thank you. So, Shall we be on our way?
I think General Thompson stares at Dale for several seconds, and he just says, yeah, let's get a move on. So Doc Lewis just hops up randomly onto one of the horses with one of the men. Do any of you want to ride with General Thompson? Or?
Oh, Dale was saying that absolutely on his horse with him.
That's awesome.
All right. So I think once everyone's up on their horses and saddled, they get back to going. Is anyone going to... I think Briarpelt has not spoken up because he also has had kind of a shady background with authority figures. So he's not
also
gonna...
part of the gang, at least until very recently.
Yeah, so he's not going to volunteer to them that he knows where they are.
Now that we're all on horses, Briarpelt, show us the way. You know where it is, right?
Well, more or less, I think I did. I haven't been there in a while. They might not even be there for all I know.
You see, Briarpelt used to be one of them. Yeah, I'm sorry. I know I'm going against everything you said,
no,
but I'm playing
okay.
My character.
Well, normally I'm not the forgiving type, but you're here with these lawmen. I reckon they're the ones who's going to decide what to do with you. If you know the way,
we've already sorted it all out. He was just their cook. They were bringing him food to feed. He knew almost nothing about any of their misgivings or their dastardly deeds, and so he's generously offered his help in tracking them down once he figured out what was actually going on.
Well, let's move along then. And after this, I think Briarpelt begrudgingly starts giving directions, and I think you ride for about another hour before you kind of come to an overlook, and you can see down into a valley. And at the other end of the valley, there's the caves that you have been told by Briarpelt that Captain Lavender and his men are probably hiding out in with your animals. Well, what do you lawmen suggest on how we go about getting in there? We don't know exactly how many men this fellow has.
No, about how many animals he has. Well, originally, our plan was to go and talk to Mr. Lavender. By the way, you may not know this, the leader of their crew is Q Lavender. He was the... family used to own the Lavender Mine out in Rusty Peaks. But more recently, he's fallen into and started leading this crew of bandits. Just thought I'd catch you up.
Well, that's a shock to me.
Since we had, you know, some sort of relationship, albeit one full of bullets, I thought we might as well go and talk to him a little bit. Would you be opposed to letting us see if we can try to figure a way out of this? And then if not, we'll call for the cavalry?
That sounds like a plan to me. As a general, I'm never opposed to fighting, but I don't think it should be our first option.
Good, we're of the same mind. Do you have some sort of horn or anything that we can use to signal you from inside the mine?
I do. And he hands to you, basically... Did they have bugles at that time? I feel like they would have.
Yes. I'm positive. Yeah.
Well, I mean not like the metal one is what I'm...
Yes.
Okay.
It's a bugle. Hey, audience, imagine a bugle however you'd like. It can be made of metal or wood or seashells.
That is fair.
This is also an alternate history. Maybe they had bugles a little bit early.
They have electric bugles.
This is what we call historic fiction. Well, okay, frankly, as much as I want to get there and find my dog, I think maybe Jasper should do this alone, because, I mean, if all of us lawmen show up, that might be a little more threatening, and they might start pulling the bullets, but I don't know, Jasper's got, I don't know if you've met my good friend Jasper over here, but he's got a smooth way with his words, and he seems to be able to talk these coyote folk into being good people, and I don't know, I think he should try the talking, and then if the talking don't work, then we should try the shooting.
Jasper, are you all right with that plan?
Yeah, that's fine with me.
And I don't know, maybe we might be getting in a strategic position while he does that or something. I'm no military expert. I'm just a
I'm just a watchman for some mine that nobody works in anymore.
Yeah, what I was thinking, I'm going to split our group in half and put one half on one side of the cave and one half on the other. Then if he blows the horn, we can make a pincer movement and both come into the entrance from both sides.
Now, when you say half... I'm sorry.
He splits us up, you'll just come with me, okay?
Okay, I'll come with you.
Roy's going to walk up to Jasper and like grab his arm and be like, "You sure you want to go in there alone?"
Do I want to go in there alone? No. Do I think that me going in there alone would present the least amount of threat and therefore not garner, you know, a less than savory reaction? Maybe.
Just as you're sure as you know what you're getting into.
I think I'll be all right. Although, just for my peace of mind, I think I'll maybe hide my revolver in my pants.
Probably a smart idea. Pull be careful, though.
Now, okay, I can show you how to do it real well so it doesn't rub up against you the wrong way. Trust me, I've been doing this for a little while now.
I think I can handle it, Dale. Thank you, though.
Okay, now you're going to want to put it in the front, not the back, because the back, everybody expects you to hide a gun in the back of your pants.
No, I know. Okay. Thank you. You don't have to tell me how my drawers work. Okay. Jasper just starts kind of walking down into the canyon.
When you said that, I just imagined the visual of, like, Dale pulling out his pistol and just starting to stuff it into Jasper's pants.
No, Dale, stop.
Okay, jeez, I'm sorry, I'm just trying to help.
I appreciate your help, but, I mean, there's just some parts of a man that are sacred and that Dales do not need to touch. I'll leave it at that. Okay. As Jasper's walking down into the canyon, he takes out his flask and takes a big swig of whiskey. Because I have the ability inebriated focus.
Nice. Give me a frontier roll as you're walking through this valley to kind of like what would be the equivalent of a perception check.
That's a natural 8.
Nice. So you notice that kind of like right inside the mouth of the cave, there's two guards. They both, it seems like they've noticed you, but they're not taking any action to attack you or draw their weapons. They just kind of, they've acknowledged you. And you can also see that the cave kind of leads to a system of caves. And as far back as you can see, those are the only two people you notice, but eventually it does kind of disappear into darkness.
All right. I approach the two people at the mouth of the caves with my hands up.
What's your business here?
The name is Jasper Hughes. I missed my latest appointment with your leader, and I'm here to talk to him about some business.
Give me a smooth talk roll.
Cool. I get +1 to all sly talking rolls when dealing with unlawful characters, so because I have the ruffian demeanor.
All right.
So that's, you said smooth talk?
Yeah.
All right, that's an 8.
All right. I think they glance at each other and they say, "Well, since you're unarmed, we'll take you to see the boss." And
thank you kindly.
That they kind of let you back into the cave. And one of them lights a torch as you start to go back there. And he leads you for several minutes.
Can I make a mental note of which way, like which tunnels we go down, so that I can better find my way out again if need be?
So you come to basically the cave breaks. There's a tunnel going right, left, and down, and you take the one going down. Once you get into it, this opens up into just a much larger cave, and you're just overwhelmed with the smell of animals once you get into it, because basically this cave, it's just full of them. You see horses, cows, chickens, cats. I don't think you immediately notice her, but it's there's probably like close to 100 animals in this room.
Oh, jeez.
This cave, like, it's packed. And you notice that there's kind of a fence running down the middle. And on the other side of the fence, you notice there are just several large wolves and coyotes. and you're kind of walking down the middle in between the two fences. Once you get to the end of the fenced off area with the farm animals, I guess farm animals is what we're going with, on your left,
sure,
and the wolves on your right, it lets out into a smaller cave. And in this cave, there's nothing but a black tent. And the two walk you up to that tent and say, "Well, he's inside. Let's go tell him that you're here." And he ducks into the tent.
Do you ever get used to the smell?
Not really, honestly. It's pretty overwhelming.
Because I was gonna say it smells really bad in here.
Yeah, but I mean,
I grew up next to a pig farm, so.
Well, if what the boss says is true, it'll be over soon.
Oh, why is that?
Well, I'm just security, so I don't know all the details, but he says we're making our move soon. And before your conversation can go any further, the other guard opens the tent flap back up and says, "Come inside."
Will do. He, like, ducks and moves inside the tent.
As you do so, the first thing you notice about this tent is there's a large wooden table kind of in the middle of it that takes up most of the tent. And it's just absolutely every inch of it's covered in just papers, pieces of rock, figures, just all sorts of like things. It's so messy you can't really make heads or tails of it. And the second thing you notice is that Captain Holster and two other men are standing on the opposite side of the table from you. One of the men, he's just dressed in kind of just normal Western gear, nothing impressive. The other one basically has a carved wooden wolf head on top of his head and like a hat.
Okay, I have to ask a question here.
Yes.
As in, is he wearing like a wooden wolf like helmet, or like on his hat there's like a like, wolf made of wood?
It's kind of like a helmet. Okay. Like, and like his like face is like in the mouth of it.
Okay, awesome.
That's dope.
I think one of my Playmobil characters growing up had one of those.
Nice.
But I think it was like an actual wolf pelt. So, I mean, it was made of plastic, don't get me wrong.
Yeah. What, you had the actual wolf pelt Playmobil?
Yeah, wow. Yeah, dude.
Dang.
Fancy anyway. Living.
What?
Well, well, well. If it isn't Jasper Hughes.
I'm sorry, do I know you?
Oh, I've heard about you from the boss.
Oh, well, I see my reputation precedes me.
Yeah, he's not a big fan of the fact that you tried to kill him when he was in Rusty Peaks last.
Is Lavender there?
Yes, but he's kind of standing behind these two men, just kind of observing. He's looking at you, but he hasn't spoken or really... He just hasn't really reacted. He's just kind of blankly watching the scene unfold.
I look him straight in the eyes as I say this to the other person there. I say... Well, I'm sure that given, you know, my position, if our roles had reversed, I'm sure he would have done the same to me.
He smiles, but continues to not speak. Now, the boss was very clear about one thing. He said, if we ever saw you again, we were supposed to kill you. And he glances at the two guards who let you in, and they both kind of just nervously look at each other.
Well, you haven't killed me yet, so I'm assuming that there might be something else you want.
You're right, but since you got this far, what'd you say to a duel?
To a duel?
Yeah, we'll even give you a pistol if you need one since you're unarmed.
With Mr. Lavender?
With me.
And what might your name be?
My name is something I should have thought of before I began this sentence.
Now we have a good record of Briar Pelt, Snarbrow, and Double Fang, so you gotta come up with a good Western code name.
My name is Wolfmouth!
Well, and Captain Holster, don't forget, this all started with Captain Holster.
Which is a silly name.
My name is Firefang.
Jasper goes, Firefang. All right.
Yeah, and Firefang's the man who's going to kill you, Jasper Hughes.
And where will this duel take place?
Let's do it right outside this tent. We've got room.
Why are you interested in dueling me?
Because one of my goals in life... It's make Captain's life easier. Killing you'd do that.
And what does your captain think of this duel?
I think at this point, Captain Holster, he finally kind of steps forward.
Before he says anything, I'm going to say, it sounds like some second, third, or fourth in command is trying to lick the paw of his master. And I'm not quite sure that dueling me is going to appease him.
At this point, Captain Lavender finally kind of steps forward, and he motions Firefang, to step aside.
Now, Firefang is goofy, but Bloodfang is badass. But it's too late.
That's true. If you had said Bloodfang, Jasper probably would have gulped instead of chortled.
Well, Jasper, you're right. It wouldn't be very courteous not to at least let you talk to the man in charge before you two do your business, so I'm going to hear you out.
Mr. Lavender, can I call you Hugh?
I'll allow it.
Hugh, I'm sorry that I missed our appointment. There were some unforeseen circumstances regarding the departure of the O'Haras. But I did not appreciate the way that you left town with all of our animals. Now, I do commend you in your bandit ways of sparing the people in our town. I do appreciate the lives kept, but as I look in the cave that I previously walked through, it seems to me that you have a vast assortment, and number for that matter, of beasts at your disposal. And I was wondering if I might be able to return home with what is ours.
Well, if I were to let you, how many would you want to take?
Preferably all of our animals. But we can talk about that in a second. I'm mostly curious as to why you would need them in the first place.
Because you're all damn fools. Now you listen here, Jasper Hughes. When I left Rusty Peaks last after the O'Haras kicked me out, I didn't ever want to see that city again. I was done with it. I was a new man. I intended to leave this whole state. I was going to travel north, find out what was there. But then one day that all changed. See, I had a vision. I'm probably the only person in the world that's ever had a vision like this.
Thank you for checking to see what state was north of Utah.
You're welcome. I mean, there's also Idaho, but in the part of Utah we're in, it would be Wyoming.
Once I did, I realized if somebody didn't take drastic action, everybody in this world was going to die. So I did it. You think I'm taking all these animals just for some lowly bandit reason? I got bigger plans than you could ever realize.
Okay. If you would be so kind as to enlighten me, maybe I could talk some sense to the other people in my town who wanted me to come here and take the animals by force.
No one ever believes me when I try and tell them.
Well,
so I'm not wasting any more time. And he puts his hand on his pistol.
As I see Lavender reaching for his pistol, I say, "Do you know the O'Haras were a bunch of shape-shifting aliens?"
Yeah. I think most people in your town know that by now.
Not everybody. It's only a select few. But I do know that. Well, and so, in my opinion, whatever you've got going on isn't going to seem too far-fetched. And I would, as one of the new lawmen in Rusty Peaks, I would be happy to see if I can possibly help you out of some kind of situation you're in. You seem to be... Hugh Lavender, I don't think there are many evil people in this world. It seems to me that you have a bad hand, and I would help you play it to the best of your ability.
Give me a smooth talking roll.
All right. Oof. That's going to be a 3.
So we're going to cut to outside the cave.
Thank you.
So
and you see, after that is when we was when we were in this weird world, and there was lots of blue grass and everything, and then there was this mountain that I had to climb, and I was back at that point, Dale, I was trying to kill Dale, Sarah.
Dale, you don't have to tell him our entire story.
Well, I've gotten pretty far so far.
Mr. McCullen, I think yes. Your friend here has been out in the sun a little too long.
I've been thinking the same thing, sir.
Well, we're going to need to be ready for in case Jasper needs us, so let's start splitting up. I'm thinking I can lead one group. Mr. McCullen, you seem like you're a pretty pretty adept man. I'll put you in charge of the other group. Dale, was it? You're coming with me. I want to keep an eye on you. Dr. Lewis, you can go with Roy and the rest of his men. Let's start moving into position.
Yes, sir, so, Mr. General, sir. And I salute again.
I think you guys start to move into positions where you're down around the kind of the mouth of the cave, but still kind of back so that you wouldn't be, like, if you're standing in the entrance of the cave, you wouldn't immediately see these people. Roy, give me a perception check, or a frontier check, sorry.
Absolutely. Oh, that is a nat one.
You do not notice anything. And
lovely.
I can't really think of a negative circumstance happen right now, so you just don't notice what you were going to notice that could have benefited you. And that's your negative consequence. Roy, do you think we ought to consider going ahead and going in there? I mean, Jesper's been in there for a while now.
I was thinking the same thing. I'm getting antsy. I don't like just sitting here before a fight. I'd rather get it over with. If we are, and if we're not, let's just go ahead and get him out.
I agree. I say we go ahead and take our group in.
Agreed. I look back at the... I'm assuming it's all the... is it all the Rusty Peaks people on our side?
Correct.
It's just me with the military, man. You absolutely know. Okay, cut over to the military, man. I've continued my story. And anyways, so I was really upset with the bounty hunter Sarah, but I got a little bit over that once we got back, but we had these weird visions, and I won't go on, but I'm continuing.
Yeah, so Roy's gonna look back at all the at everybody and be like, all right, we're going in there. I have no idea what we're gonna see or what we're gonna come up against, but Jasper's in there for too long, and I don't feel good just sitting out here waiting for him. Y'all gonna come with us?
Sheriff Ray kind of nods, as do the twins, and then that leaves only Sarah, who stares at you for several seconds before saying, well, if I'm honest, I don't feel good about this, but I'm going in if you're going in.
I am. And Roy's going to turn around, kind of look at the military people, decide not to say anything to them, and starts walking into the cave.
So would we be able to see that from our vantage? How big is the entrance of this cave?
I'm thinking it's probably about 15 feet wide.
Okay.
And you're not, like, directly on the other side. Like, you're probably, like, a little back and behind that. But you can see them go in. And I think as they start to go in, General Thompson just kind of gasps and says, what are they doing? Don't they know how to follow orders?
Well, it looks like they're going inside the cave.
He turns to Dale. Listen, I'm going to be honest. I don't think you're up to this. You stay here, and I'm going to take my men in, and we'll get whatever animal you guys are looking for. And him and his men start to move towards the mouth of the cave.
And I murmur to myself, well, I guess I ain't so good at following orders either. I'm going to find my freaking dog. And I sneak with all of my Dale stealth behind them into the cave.
So you guys, you catch up to them pretty quickly. I think that... you guys have gotten into the cave, and I think you catch up with them as you get to the part where the cave splits into three. And Roy and Dr. Lewis and the rest of their group are just kind of standing there contemplating when Dale and the rest of the military men catch up to them.
Oh, hey, boys. They said you guys weren't no good at following orders and stormed in and told me to stay outside, but I came in anyways.
Well, glad you ain't good at following orders neither.
Yes, sir. Okay, can I roll? I have a navigation experience. Can I roll that to try to, like,
yes,
distinguish the best way to go? Cool.
Go ahead.
There it is. It's plus three. That's a 6 plus 3, a 9.
Nice.
So I think that you notice that there are more tracks going down on the downward path than either the right or left path. And off of that, you're able to deduct that heavy traffic area, that's where we should probably check out first.
Oh, yeah. I say, okay, if you look down at the ground real good, and I run my finger through the dirt and lick it, and I go, yeah, that's Jasper. There's more people going this way.
Dale, you want to take the lead?
Yes, sir. But just know, Roy, if I see my dog, it's you guys are fighting these coyotes. I'm going to go get Willie.
You get your dog. we'll cover you.
I think literally as soon as you finish that sentence, you just hear gunfire as just bullets start erupting from the cave, from the entrances on the left and the right at you. And now we're going to cut back to Jasper.
Oh boy.
Quick draw. It's too late.
I think as soon as Jasper says that, he starts to hear gunfire from further back in the caves. And just as soon as you hear gunfire, Captain Lavender turns to you and says, "Well, looks like you're not so trustworthy after all, Mr. Hughes."
I don't know what's going on. I came in here alone.
Before you're given a chance to do anything else, Firefang just rushes you and tackles you onto the ground.
Oof. Is that an initiative?
That is. You two are now in initiative.
What was that? What's initiative again? Is it Frontier or Wiliness?
Wily.
Wiliness.
Cool. That's a 7.
All right. It is your move.
I think at this point I'm just going to... I don't want them to know I have a gun yet, and so I'm just going to try to punch him in the face.
All right.
I think that's a hard hand move.
Yeah, that would be a hard hand move.
I don't have any hard hands. That's a 1.
I think you go to kind of try and punch him, but he kind of has your arm pinned down from the initial tackle, and you kind of your hand just kind of hits his face, but doesn't do any real damage. And he's going to pull out a knife and attempt to stab you with it. And he misses about as badly as you did, as it just kind of misses your shoulder by about half an inch, and he stabs it into the ground.
What happened to a duel?
I'll kill you anyway if I have to.
Is it my turn again, or what?
I think from your perspective on the ground, you notice the other guard lift up the back of the tent, and Captain Lavender ducks under it, and the remaining 3 guards all follow after him, just leaving you and Firefang in the tent.
Okay, I want to... Since they're gone, I am going to try to reach in my pants and grab my gun.
All right.
I don't know how to do... what should I roll for that?
That's what I was... I would say... I think that I'm going to have you do 2 rolls. I'm trying to decide what the one to, get to it should be.
Well, I feel like it would be a wiliness check.
Yeah, I'll do a wireless check. That sounds fair.
Because it's kind of dexterous, I feel like.
Yeah.
That's a 6.
You're able to do it. You're able to get the gun out of your pants, and then I'll just have you fire it normally.
Cool. And then I'll aim it at his, chest and fire it. I don't know how I would miss, but... so that's fast hands. That's a 6 as well.
I'm going to say you just fire it. And it kills him, because, I mean, you're shooting him, point blank, the gun's against his chest. I don't see any way he doesn't die from that, so. You kill him, and then you're able to get up off the ground, and from further in the caves, now you're just hearing just tons of gunfire. And now I'm going to cut back to them.
When you say further in the caves, do you mean where Lavender went, or further back behind me? Back out of the caves?
Back from where you've came.
Okay.
All right, so now... Roy and Dale, will you both give me initiative rolls?
Absolutely.
Oh, 3. God. Ugh. It's a 4, but it's a 1 plus 3. It's an at 1.
All right. So, Doc Lewis rolled the best. So, I think as soon as the gunfire started, he kind of dropped to a knee. And he glances up and he notices now that... on both, they're just kind of men starting to flood out of the tunnels on both sides of you, and he's gonna raise up his long gun and he's gonna fire off a shot, and he manages to hit one of the most forward, one of Lavender's men that have emerged from the cave, but he doesn't kill him. He just kind of nicks him, and now it's going to be Mr. Roy's turn.
Cool.
So yeah, just to set the scene. There are kind of men coming at you from both sides. You're just kind of in the entrance cave, and there's basically a tunnel on your right and left that men are coming out of to try and basically surround your group.
How close are they to us?
I think they're probably right now about 10 feet away.
Okay.
So, I mean, you could still try and go back out the cave the way you came. You could try and go forward, or... But, I mean, gotcha. Any attempt, like, to move, you would probably open yourself up to attack.
Yeah, no, I think that I'm going to kind of follow Doc's lead and kind of drop down, draw my pistol, and fire at someone off to the left.
All right.
And that would be a 5.
I think that's going to do it. Just because there's so many targets, you just fire, and it kind of just, the bullet slams into one of the most forward, one of Lavender's men that's coming towards you. And by this time, I think there are now more of Lavender's men in this cave than there are of combined Rusty Peaks and soldiers.
Okay. After I fire off that shot, I'm going to turn back to Dale and say, Dale, you go on forward, you find your dog, and you find Jasper. And he's going to raise the pistol again.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do, so that this doesn't take forever, like all of the other characters I'm controlling, I'm going to roll four as one, and then it will be Dale's turn.
Okay.
All right. So around you notice that Sarah, like as soon as the bullet started going off, like she just like had two guns drawn and was just firing, like just. She just jumped to it. Like, this is what she's good at. This is her nature. You know, she is mowing people down. The soldiers, commanded by General Thompson, they're trying to kind of get themselves in some sort of a better arrangement so that they can be in more of a better fighting position, not just kind of standing in the middle of this cavern. They're kind of holding their own. And then the final thing you notice is Sheriff Ray transform into... an animal that Dale has never seen before.
Just Dale.
It's large, and it's gray, and it has two horns coming out of its nose area. And he charges forward and just smashes into several of Lavender's men, knocking them to the ground.
That's actually dope as hell.
That is amazing. Oh my gosh. Rampage.
Is it a boar?
I was going for a rhino.
Ah, okay. Gotcha. I want to know how he would have seen one of those before.
Right? That is what I'm thinking.
Hey, there were zoos in the 1890s, right? Even though I think we did clarify that the O'Haras didn't really leave Utah, but that's fine.
Yeah, they didn't go very far.
Because I almost interpreted it as like a beast from another planet, because they absolutely would have seen stuff from then. But a rhino is good.
Hey, space rhinos. That's all I'm saying.
Space rhinos.
They're only endangered here.
Dale, it is your turn.
It's my turn?
Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you a question, and you can absolutely say no to this. You are the GM, and you are in charge here. Can I roll hoodoo and just see what happens? Because I know we did clarify this, and I don't want to use this as like an OP thing, but I also don't want to just like rush it under the rug about the fact that like I'm not actually human. I'm from some other plane of existence. Can I just roll hoodoo and see what happens?
You can.
Like under panic of all these people.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. That would be a 7 plus 5.
So
you, as the storyteller, get to decide what happens here.
I think Dale, he starts to run forward after what Roy tells him. He's kind of going down into the tunnel that leads down to the earth. But he also just feels kind of like this overwhelming sense of panic. He's really worried about Jasper, who he hasn't seen. He's really worried about Roy and Scott, who are being shot at. And I think most of all, he's worried about Willie. He's so close to finding him, and plans are just completely going awry. And I think that as this happens, a kind of energy emits from Dale, and it kind of continues to grow in his chest until it finally just manifests itself in kind of just a blast of energy that blasts down the right tunnel, the opposite of the one that Sheriff Ray went down, and it just knocks several of Lavender's men to their feet and stuns them.
Nice. Cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Then I guess that's my turn. I'm running to get out. And also, I wanted to bring that up and see if that would happen. if something might happen. I felt like this was as good a moment as any since we were like in a very stressful, overwhelmed situation.
I liked it because I felt like it was good risk reward. Because if you rolled well, I was going to do something very good for you. If you had rolled poorly, I was going to do something very bad for you.
Okay, good. Yes, I've started using my red D8, which is my good one because it rolls so much better than the other ones.
Now, I'm not gonna lie, right. I'm excited to see what all Hoodoo does later on then, because I've got a ridiculously high Hoodoo. I've got a +9. So this is exciting. I'm not gonna lie. I'm excited for this.
So at this point it's the Lavender's men's turn, and they're all just kind of firing on you. For the most part, it seems like their bullets are missing. There's some close whirls. You notice one of the soldiers dropped to the ground dead as he's been hit by several bullets, but the rest of you so far don't seem to have taken any serious damage. And that's going to bring up Scott again. He's just going to fire again, but I think in just the panic of everything, he just completely whiffs. And I believe it's Roy's turn now.
Roy is going to grab onto Doc's shoulder and be like, "We got to get out of here. We're sitting ducks just standing here in this cave. Let's run down this way." And he's going to kind of like lean back to Sarah and Sam and Graham and then be like, "We got to get out of here. We got to keep moving down." And so then Roy's going to start running towards the center downward cave tunnel.
Okay. So then I'm going to... So the soldiers have basically, they've kind of got themselves into a fighting position, and Lavender's men, I think, have interpreted that as the biggest threat, and therefore they're more focusing their fire on the soldiers. And as a result, the Rusty Peaks group, minus Sheriff Ray, who in his rhino form is still a little ways down the hallway, continuing to just kind of cause chaos. The rest of you, though, are all able to kind of go down into this tunnel that leads farther into the earth. Luke, would you like to stay in the tent, or would you like to leave?
Here's what I want to do. First, I'm going to check Firefang and see if he has a gun on him, like a revolver.
Yeah, you see that he does, in fact, have a revolver.
I'm going to grab it, check to see if it's full, if it's loaded. It is.
Yeah, it's loaded.
Okay, I'm going to stick that in the back of my pants just so I have a backup so I don't have to reload. And then I'm going to pull out the bugle and just blow it as loud as I can.
That is fair. I guess for you that's a completely reasonable thing to do.
And then I'm going to follow Lavender deeper into the mine.
Okay, cool. So I think you come out the front of the tent because like he kind of had someone like picking it up for him, which is why he was able to escape out the back.
Wait, did he go out? Did he go out the back of the tent, or did he go? Sorry.
Well, I was thinking like he ducked out the back of the tent, but like that wasn't really like an exit. Like this tent isn't like one with a bottom. Like,
oh, I thought the caves continued behind the tent. That's what I was thinking happened.
No, sorry. I guess that was kind of unclear. It was just like.
I don't think Jasper would know that. So I want to follow wherever Lavender went. So if that's out of the back of the cave, I want to go out the back of the tent to be like, where did he go?
Okay, so you lift the back of the tent up and you duck under it. And there's probably about 4 feet before you get to the back wall of the cave, and you kind of glance around and you don't see him or the three men he left with.
Okay, I feel like that would be my entire turn. So
okay, Dale, it is now your turn.
Okay, so I'm running and I've entered the place where all the animals are? ?
Yes, you're on like the far side of it, and you can see there's another cave at the far side, and that there's a tent. Well, I'm actually you can't see that there's a tent. You can just see there's another cave on the far side, and you see hundreds of animals, and on the other side you notice all the kind of wolves and coyotes.
Okay. Honestly, I think I've just heard this bugle blow, so I'm pretty torn on, like, do I follow the bugle? That means Jasper's in danger, or do I look for Willy, who's my oldest friend out of everybody, period, that's still alive? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to roll a die to decide which thing I'm going to do. So I'll let you know in just a moment. Hold on. I'm going to decide which outcome is which number before I roll it.
Do like 1 through 4 is 1 and 5 through 8 is another.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to the bugle. So I hear this bugle, and I look at all the animals and I think, oh, Willie could be here, but then I think about Jasper possibly being like torn. I think I see all the coyotes and the wolves, and I just like imagine Jasper being torn apart by them. And I get even surprisingly even more worried about that than not seeing Willie again. So I rush towards this cave where I heard the bugle.
Okay, I'm going to say that is going to take your turn. So at this point, Roy and Dr. Lewis and the rest of the Rusty Peaks gang, they're starting to enter down into this cave. And the first thing they notice is just the tons and tons of animals that are in this pretty large cavern. And then I think, Roy, you see Dale just kind of running down the middle in between two fences. And he's probably a little over halfway through this cavern.
Okay. Yeah, honestly, I think Roy is just going to immediately see Dale running and is going to run after him. It's like he's going to look at the animals, take note of them, but then dash.
I think that Dr. Lewis and Sarah and the twins, they're all close on your tail. You can hear kind of the sounds of fighting in the cavern further back is starting to get a little more distant. When suddenly you hear a much louder gunshot ring out, and Sam falls to the ground with a bullet wound in his head. And Roy, you turn and you see standing in the fenced area with the wolves and coyotes is Captain Lavender holding a rifle, which he's now reloading.
Quick draw.
All right.
So where am I in all of this?
Okay, so basically the room layout, I think that this area of the cave is kind of like a giant circle.
Okay.
And there's a path in the middle.
Yes.
You're about halfway down the path. On your left is all the animals. On your right side, there's like the wolves and coyotes. And then at the end, there's a smaller cave with a tent. What basically happened is Captain Lavender and his men, they went out the back of the tent and basically circled around the wall and went into the like fenced area with the wolves and coyotes to kind of use them as protection. And they had been traveling down that and saw Roy and the rest of them entering.
So they've come up behind me as I run towards Jasper and they've just shot
They Sam. Are in between them and you.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Gladly. All right, so we're going to have a quick draw.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think Roy's going to scream in frustration just seeing, because, I mean, again, this... The twins, Roy pulled the twins out of a burning building not too long ago. So while Roy doesn't have any sort of personal connections to really anybody outside of our normal people and kind of Sarah, these are the closest people that he would say that he had any sort of connection to. And so immediately fires out. And so that would be a 5.
All right. So I think you fire. You were definitely trying to kind of go for a kill shot here, but just because of all the like chaos and confusion, you don't quite get it. But you definitely, you hit him, and it kind of knocks him back, and he drops the rifle and falls to a knee. And at this point, I'm going to say it would be probably Jasper's turn.
I circle around to the right, like I circle around the tent, and do I see Captain Holster?
I think you didn't notice him at first, but after you hear those two gunshots that are obviously a lot closer than where the rest of the men are fighting ring out, your attention's drawn to it. And you notice that Captain Holster's other three guards are both kind of, are all three, not both, kind of facing towards you, waiting to see like what kind of action you're going to take.
Where am I in this?
You are closer to Jasper than the guards.
Okay, then as of not my turn action, I go, Jasper, I heard the bugle. I'm here to help.
Well, shoot him. I'm going to shoot him. I'm going to pull out my revolver and I'm going to aim for one of the guards. So is this a fast hand with a revolver?
Yeah, okay. Fast hand.
All right, that's going to be 7.
That's going to hit. I think you hit one of the guards, and I think you... you don't kill him, but you damage him enough that he's probably not going to be too actively fighting back. Dale, give me a wiliness roll.
That's me. Yes, sir. Let me pull up my character sheet again. There it is. I had just clicked away to, I got mentioned in a group. Okay, wiliness, that is 6 plus 3, 9.
Oh my word.
That's my best one.
I think that from above your head, you just hear kind of a loud shrieking noise, and you just kind of instinctively duck. And as you duck, a kind of scythe-like shape swipes through the air where your head would have just been. And you look up, and you notice that hanging from the ceiling is just a massive beast that you've never seen anything like before, with scythe-like hands. Its body looks like it's just a patchwork of other creatures.
I was just thinking in my head, I wonder where Bill is. And then I was thinking, you know, if Hunter doesn't bring Bill into this, I hope I'm next so I can bring Bill into this.
I kept waiting for someone to, like, do some type of check to just look at this room as a whole, and no one ever did.
It's fair. I mean, I saw the animals and the wolves and the tent, and I was like, I guess I get it. Okay, awesome. Yeah, so I think I duck under this scythe, and I go, oh, well, that's not Willy.
So... at this point, I think Sam has just, he stopped and he's just kind of bent over the body of his now deceased brother. And Doc Lewis has also stopped and is trying to help him, but he realized basically Sam was dead by the time he hit the ground. There's nothing he could do. Sarah has fired and has killed one of the other guards, but before any more action can take place, From his kneeled position on the ground, Captain Lavender, he raises a hand and he calls out in a voice loud enough for everyone in the room to hear him. Now stop! All, just stop and listen. And as he's saying this, the big creature that's hanging from the ceiling lowers its scythe again till it's right at Dale's neck. Now, as you see, my beastie here can take your little friend's head clear off. But I'm going to give y'all a choice. No one else, not a single one of you, has to die. I have a plan to save all the wretched people on this planet, but I need something for it. If you all can get me what I need, I won't kill another one of you.
Why should we listen to you?
Well, I don't suppose you have to, but your friend's gonna get a little shorter if you don't.
Please, I'm already so short.
Well, what do you want then?
There's a power source I'm gonna need if I'm gonna make stealing all these animals worthwhile and save all your lives. I'm gonna need you to steal it from someone. It's gonna be in southern Utah 2 days from now at the border. You see, I'm gonna need you to rob a train.
Train heist.
Oh boy.
Okay. Incredible. Good job, Hunter. I felt like we actually got a little bit of action here after we just been kind of walking back and forth between places, which is fair. We needed to be prepared to head into the actual domain.
These aren't Dungeons and Dragons characters. We can't just walk over the place and not sleep or eat.
Yes, you know? these are Red Bed. These are what is it called?
Dead in the West
characters.
awesome. I want everyone to know that at one point, like right in the middle, probably like 45 minutes in, I got really scared that I wasn't recording
because
I hadn't checked my audio in a while, and I was like, did I actually hit record when I started? And so, like, I went back and I was like, okay, yeah, I am recording. It was scary there for a second.
Okay, Hunter, you just made me check my recordings. I'm all good, too.
I mean, same here. I panicked. Hunter, as soon as you said that, my jaw dropped. I was like, oh, that was an excellent button.
Yes, I mean, how can we do a Western story without doing a train heist? I mean, it's the most classic trope in the book.
Exactly.
Granted, we'll have to check up next time to see if we accept this threat or this opportunity, if you will. But train heist, oh my gosh, the freaking Cattlewood Coyote arc turns into the train heist arc.
So fun.
But in order to know what's going to happen next time, first, we got to do a little something we do at the end of every episode here. A little something
special. Spin that wheel!
We got to spin that wheel.
Imagine if someone actually was like at a roulette table.
Oh my goodness! So it, I feel like I say this every time that it was right on the line. Like it had nearly absolutely stopped on Noah, but it just nudged ever so slightly over the line. And Luke, it's you again, buddy. You oh, gonna do the train heist?
Nice. Oh, more likely it's going to be setting up a train heist, but. We'll see what happens.
That's fair. We have to make it to Southern Utah, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's far away.
That is, we are in Northern Utah. Hey, audience, if you're curious where Rusty Peaks is, it's a fake city that we made up, but we based it to be at the base of King's Peak in Utah. So you have the internet. You can figure out where that is.
Google it.
But yes, I've removed Luke's name. Here, I'm going to do a little something we haven't done before. I want to give a little bit of an update on how many more episodes everybody has, because I can do that here. So, Hunter, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 more episodes in this arc. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I have 7 more episodes in this arc. Luke, excluding next episode, you'll have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So you'll actually have less than me once you do this next episode. Wait, let me count that again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. My name
should be in there 9 times.
Yes, you'll have 7.
And I've done once, and then, okay, yeah, I will have 7. Okay.
So after this, you'll actually be the same as me, so we can no longer make fun of Luke for having not DM'd anything, because he'll be the same. But Noah, you've done so many. You'll have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more after this, and that'll be it. But we still have 3 more split episodes to look forward to in the future.
I know. Honestly, whenever you started laughing, I thought that it was going to be a split, and I was like, oh my goodness, this is going to be ridiculous.
I know. I'm looking forward to this split. I feel like I was a little more like cautious of the split when we were in the middle of the O'Hara arc, because that was one I kind of like fine-tuned and created myself. But I'm now looking very much forward to them because everything's a little more willy-nilly, a little more up in the air. But awesome. Luke, you, good luck.
Thank you.
We'll pick this up in 2 weeks. When it comes to announcements and all those shenanigans, the world's really weird right now, so we apologize if any episodes are late or anything. While it might seem like we should have more time on our hands, some of us don't, or even more busy due to the circumstances. But so if any episodes are a little bit late, I'd like to say this officially, that like rather than every other Monday, we're just going to say every other week. Within the 2 weeks from now week, the next episode will be up, and that might be kind of how we play it from ear from now. We want to make sure these episodes are coming out consistently for you, because especially to give you something to listen to, something to entertain yourself during these times and everything. But also, some of us are still very busy. But the best way to support dear old RPG Roulette is to
give us directly money.
Yes, to directly give us money. No, you don't have to do that. You can listen to this show for free. It's a free show to listen to. But yes, the best way to support the show is to listen to it. Obviously, the more people we have listening, the better all of our stats become and everything, and the more people listen to it because of the weird algorithms everything uses. So thank you so much for listening to RPG Roulette. The next best way to support the show is to leave a review. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, that's a really easy way. You can literally just scroll down and leave a review. If you're listening somewhere that doesn't have a review section, like Spotify, we're happy to be on Spotify. Awesome that Spotify is doing podcasts, but you can't leave reviews on it right now. So if you're listening there or somewhere else that doesn't have a review platform, just hop on over to another app and leave a review there. Again, you don't have to do that, but if you do that, that means so much to us. It seriously, it helps us a lot. It gets us up in the charts and helps more people listen to the show. And it means the world to us. And as always,
and maybe this might be overstepping my boundaries, but maybe we can do, like, if you want to leave a quote in your review, you can have you can specify if you want one of the characters to say the quote. I think that'd be kind of fun.
That's actually an idea I've thought about, and you know what? We'll do it live on the air. This is what it's like behind the scenes when we talk about the podcast. I'm comfortable doing that. If you leave a request with a 5-star review, if you leave less than that, then hey, that sounds shitty of me to say.
If you leave less than that,
you don't get us to say anything.
We might do it if the quote is funny enough.
That's fair. but if you leave a request on what character you want to, like, say something or to thank you for the review, we'll start doing that now, because reviews seriously help us so much. And everyone's listening to podcasts right now because everyone's, you know, stuck at home and they're like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I guess I'm going to listen to a podcast and think about life. so the competition is really heavy right now, and it's not like we're not out here trying to be the best show in the world, but we're still out here trying.
That's not true. We're out for blood.
Yes. Okay. Yes. We're out for.
We are blood fang.
Hey, that's my voice changer that I've never used in the show.
Hey, there you go.
Hey, there it is.
Scare them all to death.
Maybe one day. but if you leave a 5-star review and you add a request of what character you want to say a quote you leave in the review, as long as we don't deem it too inappropriate, again, the show, while we say an occasional curse word, is still kind of geared towards everybody. We'll do it. We're going to start doing that. this sounds like a lot of review pandering here. So again, I want to say the best thing you could do is just listen. And thank you again so much for listening. If you want to stay up to date on when episodes are released and if stuff's going to be behind, or if we're doing anything extra like a stream, we did a stream a couple weeks ago that was really fun. We did a 6-hour stream where we played some one-page RPGs. And if you want to, like, know when that kind of stuff's going to happen, the best way to do that is to follow us on Twitter at RPG Roulette. At RPG Roulette, that's where we are. You can also tweet about the show with the hashtag RouletteCast. And if you have any questions or anything about the show, you can always email us at RouletteCast or RouletteCast@gmail.com. That's all the fancy announcement stuff that me, Keaton, the guy who edits and does stuff on the show, has to say here at the end. It's been a long. I feel like I've talked too much. Hey, does anyone want to tell a joke to make up for how much garbage I just said?
Sorry, man. I'm fresh out of jokes.
Oh, no. Okay.
I'm never funny on the spot.
That's fine. Okay.
I usually am. I'm just out. Like,
wow. What is... Man, it's a sad time here in 2020.
We're not a comedy podcast, sir.
That's fair. We have not labeled
we
ourselves.
We are strictly a drama podcast.
Yes. Hey, if you've ever laughed at our show, f*** you. Seriously, stop. This is a drama.
We take it very serious.
Seriously.
We are trying to tell a story, not be funny.
This is a very serious...
Interdimensional cowboys. It's not funny at
all. It's not whimsical. It's serious. And you better cry. I'm gonna cry. Okay, I've said enough here. If you've listened this far, thanks so much. Seriously, you guys are the absolute best. Like, warms my heart to the core that you guys are here. But we will we'll see you in 2 weeks with the next episode while Luke sends us towards, or maybe on, but probably towards, a train heist for the next chapter of RPG Roulette, Red Bat.